Three Times the Thief Snuck into the Zoldyck Mansion. Written by Anon Co-op. Read by Demon Feed Audio. Summary. Kilo's birthday wasn't going at all how he'd wanted it. At least it didn't go how his parents wanted it to either. First attempt. Crystal, silver, blue, silk drapes, ebony tables, pewter dishware, classic white marble, an endless sea of people talking, whispering, tittering on and on, daring the other to speak first, to beg for a scrap of attention so they could gossip about it for the next month. It was the same, always the same, and every part of it was boring. Nothing nor no one interesting had yet to make themselves known, nor attempt to pull him out of his usual glower. Beyond a few nods and short, gracious words, he had barely done anything all night, not even attempted to sip from his punch bowl. He knew the minute he got too far from his exact spot, he would be swarmed by a fresh mob of partygoers, of people noticing the Zoldyck air. He could still remember the details of his attire clearly from standing in front of the mirror almost 3 hours prior. White curls perfectly placed and pushed back from the ivory white cat mask with gold and blue accents. The back hairs trimmed short so they didn't stick up above his white frocked collared shirt and white jacket suit. Every crease exactly where it was meant to be, even his shined shoes had yet to get a speck of dust on them. He knew he still looked exactly the same as he had when he arrived at the party, because his mother still hadn't ushered him aside to fix whatever detail had been flawed from the wrong movement. It was all so incredibly boring. If only his parents had actually agreed to let Aluka join him. "Kilu," Illumi drawled from somewhere behind him. Kilua's eyes shifted, but were obscured by the mask. He gave his brother a slow, full body turn, fixing him with a bored look. "Mother would wish to see you dance at your party." "Whose party is it? Funny, I know I saw my name somewhere, but none of my guests." Illumi's face didn't twitch at all as he replied coolly, "You know they don't fit in. Be happier getting a party, getting a chance to have all this extravagance." He trailed off with a glance. Kilua turned to watch a shock of red hair dip behind an ice sculpture. "Oops." Kilua looked back to his brother, the barest hint of a frown growing between his brows. "I guess you'd better go take care of that before Mom finds out. I thought people that don't fit in weren't allowed." The taller man glided off, his long hair fluttering from his speed, and several guests giggled as he stepped close before speeding further into the crowd. Kilua sighed, enjoying the break from his brother's watchful eye. He resisted the urge to pull out his phone so he could at least send Aluka a selfie, but then she might be sad she couldn't attend. Thinking of his sister, he let his eyes slip to some of the younger girls that were among the crowd. He wondered if his sister would like one gown or another, what she would hate about a certain color or material. Kilua realized his mistake when one of the girls began to step toward him, one hand fluttering a fan in front of her face. Direct eye contact had been made, started by him. Shit. Could he run? Maybe that was too obvious. Was there somewhere he could hide? No, that would be worse. Maybe he could... An arm slipped around his waist, followed by a body swinging in front of him, dressed in a black suit, a mess of dark hair pushed up into spikes, gold eyes framed by gold paint on a mask with a pointed snout. Kilua managed a half-thought about the mask seemed familiar before the stranger tightens his hold on Kilua's waist and pulls him along, grabbing his free hand in his. Kilua mirrored him, muscle memory taking over, tucking his own arm around the stranger's waist. Looking over his shoulder, Kilua noticed the girl was now pouting, mouth drawn into a wobbly line. He smirked at her, then started spinning the man around. Watching his face, Kilua could immediately tell something was up. His eyes steadily watched everywhere around him, and he moved with a fluidity of not someone who knew how to dance, but certainly knew how to move. He was more or less copying the other dancers and Kilua, but Kilua was just happy he hadn't stepped on his feet yet. "So, who are you looking for?" The man startled, almost missing a step. "Looking? For a person?" He blinked, then smiled crookedly. "Well, I have you, don't I?" "Nice try. You've been looking everywhere but me since you grabbed me. So you have an ex here? Maybe a jealous lover?" The confused look on the man's face had Killua biting back a giggle.
Well, you see...
The man looked somewhere over Killua's left shoulder. They had managed to get near a set of lights, and it dawned that the mask was one they had provided for the security staff. Guard dogs, his brother had joked. Said mask was brushing by his ear, and the man breathed, "Dip me." Blinking past a particular image and ignoring the heat he felt on his ears, Killua complied, bracing his one foot to hold a much larger partner than his sister or practice partner from dance classes. The man wrapped his one hand around Killua's neck, bracing himself so neither of them leaned too far forward. Killua took the opportunity to ask more questions. "Did you just decide you needed a new angle, or are we hiding again? When would security ever need to hide? Maybe your boss was looking to fire you before your gig tonight?" The man threw his head back and laughed, throat long and exposed. He made the motion for Killua to pull him back up, and once again, his hand slid around his waist, fingers grabbing each other. And again, he leaned in close, mask brushing by Killua's hair as he whispered, "Maybe we should take this somewhere quieter, more private." As he leaned away, Killua again saw that his eyes were elsewhere, sweeping the crowds that had gathered around the few that did dance. Killua picked up his pace, pulling the man along, spiraling them through the masses until a familiar balcony opened up to them. Killua went ahead and pushed one door partially closed, dulling the noise of the crowd by half. It's outside in the low orange light of normal bulbs, rather than the blue hue from the ones in the party, that Killua starts to notice there's something else familiar about the man. Something about the set of his shoulders, the way his arms move to his sides, staying out and relaxed rather than stuffed into pockets. Something about the way his jaw angles as he turns back to watch Killua, a smile touching the corner of his mouth again. It's a smile he could grow to like, Killua thinks. "So," he pushes on, shoving the errant thought back. "Talk. Did you use a security uniform to sneak into the party?" The man shifted, adjusting his bow tie. "Are you looking for someone? Maybe you're a reporter?" "You ask a lot of questions." He brought up one hand under his chin, the other tucked under his elbow. "Mind if I ask one?" From the way he tilted his head, to that smile shifting into something amused, Killua knew he was raising an eyebrow at him. Killua wanted to flick his forehead. Where did he know that look? "I suppose, but you're the one that snuck into the party." Killua folded his arms in front of him, tapping his foot. "Ask one question." "Only one, huh?" He looked away, spinning slowly to look over the balcony, finger tapping on his chin. "Guess I'll hold on to that one." "Fine, I'll tell you. I might have snuck into the party, sure. I might be looking for someone or something." He twisted again, looking at Killua full on once more. He had lost his smile, his eyes serious. "And I might get fired from my job." "Ah, a reporter then," Killua sighed, throwing his arms behind his head. "Geez, Mom's gonna be pissed if she finds out." He smiled. "This will be great. You know, I didn't want this. I just wanted something small, something quiet. I wanted to spend time with my family and maybe a few friends, but no, not for me." "So this is your party. I'll admit I wasn't sure till just now." The man now half sat, half leaned against the balcony wall. Again, Killua was struck by how familiar it was, the way his shoulders came up near his ears, one foot propped in front of the other, not quite crossed. Killua dropped his arms in surprise. "You're kidding me. You didn't know? That's not why you grabbed me?" A reporter then snuck into his family's party and didn't know who the heir was? That didn't recognize him? It seemed almost impossible. "Are you from school? The university's newspaper club, maybe?" The man hummed, looking into space for a moment. "Not quite. I just didn't realize you were some rich kid. Makes sense why you wouldn't remember me amongst the numbers of nobodies." He smiled like he'd made a clever joke. "Ouch," Killua said, feeling his heart lurch at the accusation. It sounded like something Illumi would think, that anyone below them were nobodies, with one blatant exception.
and Killua hated that someone had said as much about him. But that means we have met. I thought you looked familiar, but... so I really didn't make an impression. No, you... idiot. I swear I know you. Or maybe you just think your memory's good. Frowning, Killua stepped up to him. Fine, take off your mask. If I don't remember you, then you can have another question. I might even give you the interview you want. So I'll have two questions then. He stood up from the ledge, standing close to Killua. And who said I wanted an interview? Killua placed one hand on his shoulder, the other along his cheek, thumb and forefinger tracing the edge of the mask. Fine, whatever you were looking for. Interview, scoop, whatever you want to call it. The man went quiet for a moment, hands coming up to settle around Kilo's waist again. They were very warm. You said it first. Okay, deal. And if you do remember me? I get to say I told you so. Leaning in close, trying to see something in his face, Killua wonders if he's been blind, missing eyes like these. They're honeyed brown and seem to glitter, the man's smile reaching his eyes with too much ease. His warm hand is trailing from Killua's hip to his back, then further up to also grip the edge of his white mask. Deal, the man murmurs, lifting Killua's mask enough that he can feel the night breeze on his cheekbones. Killua also started lifting the mask, and managed to peek a touch of freckles across the man's nose before someone slammed into the balcony door Killua had partially closed. Young master! Canary, head of security for the night, charged through, staff in hand, raised as if to clobber someone. Master Killua, are you safe? Did that thief do anything to you? Thief? Killua frowned. What do you mean? Surely not. He turned back, just then noticing that his dance partner was no longer standing beside him. Instead, the man was running along the top of the balcony ledges, already several yards away. Two of the security guards started to follow after him, or tried to. One slipped off and into a bush, and the other was moving too slowly to gain any ground. Master Killua, that man was impersonating a guard and seems to have attempted to break into your father's vault. Watching the man now scale up the brick face of the servants' quarters and then dash across the roof, Killua mused, "Which one? The money vault? The second money vault? Or the jewel vault?" "The jewel vault, master." Canary now joined him, watching the shadow by the moonlight, seeing him jump off the edge of the roof and into the surrounding forest. Killua hummed. Seems like he knew which one he wanted and which would be easier to hide in his pockets. It's not like you can make it far with a few stacks of money, but two or three jewels would be of more value and easier to hide. Young master, you speak as if you've thought of doing just that. Instead of answering, Killua gave her a thin smile. Second attempt. Plagued by his parents' badgering and the overly concerned staff, Killua was unable to escape from the events of his birthday party. From the questioning of Canary and Godo about the man and who Killua thought he was, to the scolding he got from his mother about not being a gracious host, he now suffered from a third inquiry. "You just let him sweep you away like that?" Aluka teased. "The tall, handsome stranger pulling you into his arms and twirling you away?" She finished with a sing-song-like voice and twirled herself. "I told you I recognized him. I know I did. You go to a school with almost 20,000 students, faculty not included. How many students did you say were in your one lecture?" "Almost 300. So give yourself a break and just wait till the school year starts again. Maybe you'll see him then." But Killua hated waiting. That's exactly why he was now, at the mere hours of 2 a.m., studying the textbook from the last semester in an attempt to ready himself for his summer classes that would be starting at the end of July. Just 2, almost 3 weeks until he could finally go back, get out of the mansion. He'd be leaving Aluka again, but he did her no good either way. No good until he got a decent job and could find an apartment on his own. After reading the same paragraph for the fifth time, he glanced at the clock again. 3 a.m. Maybe he should go to bed. He closed his book, stretched his arms up, wondering how early he should wake up, when he heard something like a window sliding up. That was weird. Besides the two guards near the main entrances, no one should be up, and certainly not opening windows. Keel was stilled, ears straining. Was that rustling? Which window could that be? Outside his door, to the right, the hall came to a T, and several windows were at the center there. Those were the closest, and it made sense that he could hear them. Was that it? Was someone up trying to get some fresh air? Or was it... Aluka's bedroom was just a bit further down that same hallway. If someone came in to rob them and found her... hurt her... Kailua grabbed his textbook, shut off his desk lamp, and slowly made his way to the door. It had been quiet. He cracked his door open, listening for anything new. Was he being paranoid? The party wasn't the first time someone had broken into the mansion. Well, tried. Most had never managed to make it into the house. Kailua's dance partner was the first. Had he told someone else how to get in? He was almost convinced he was just hearing things when a floorboard creaked, and a low curse followed it. Ah, so he was trying to find the right spots to step. Kailua knew them all by heart. There was a particular one in that area that he almost had to jump over to avoid. Kailua readied the textbook, spine outwards, then flung his door open and charged. He kept his textbook pointed, just ahead of his shoulder, and lowered himself just enough to be able to throw his weight into the intruder's stomach, knocking both of them to the ground. To the intruder's credit, they barely make a sound beyond the groaning from hitting the ground. Kailua pinned one arm above his head, and the other shoved the textbook into his throat. Catching his breath from the impact, Kailua takes a second to register who he has under him. It's his dance partner. He's not wearing his mask. Jesus Christ, you really came back. His cheekbones are wider than Kailua had imagined, eyes a bit rounder without the mask. Freckles adorning his nose and cheeks. He was still smiling, though, eyes dancing as he breathed slowly from Kilua's attempting to crush his windpipe. Oops. He pulled it away, then realized he was straddling the man's hips, one arm still pinned to the floor. I had no idea I made such an impression that you'd jump me, he says, rubbing his throat. I don't suppose you'd let me go again this time. Of course not, Kilua says without too much thought. Then blinks. I still need to remember your name. The man grabs Kailua's collar, pulling him down a bit roughly. I never said you knew my name. You just need to remember where you've seen me. But that has nothing to do with you letting me go. He smiled, bumping Kailua's nose. Maybe I can persuade you. Kailua shoved him back. No convincing needed if you tell me the truth. He suddenly became aware of the oppressively quiet hallway. But not now. Kailua reached into his pocket and pulled out a small blue sphere, like a blue marble. Kailua only knew it as a rare jewel with a unique name, but he didn't care. Here, take this. It's what you were looking for, right? The man stared, looking between the gem and Kailua. Neither of his hands twitched. What are you waiting for? To be honest, for security to come and arrest me, I have yet a hit to offer me the loot I was looking for. Kailua scoffed. Look, my brother won this in a poker game not even a month ago. That's the only addition to the jewel vault in the last year. Either you know about my mom's old fascination with blood rubies, or you wanted this. Either take it or not, but you need to get out of here. The staff starts its rotation in the next... Shit, it's 10 minutes. You need to go. Kailua rolled back onto his heels, still offering the blue gem. The thief sat up, shuffling out from under Kailua before also getting on his heels. They stayed like that for a minute, the man reading something in Kailua's face. Kailua knew how to school his features into an easy and bland mask, but he got the feeling that his very soul was being examined. He couldn't tell if he liked it or not. Then, in a blur, the gem was gone from Kailua's fingers, and so was the man. The last thing he saw was his broad shoulders ripping under his shirt as he jumped out. Third attempt. Again, Kailua was studying. Again, he heard the window down the hall slide open and the rustling of bushes. Rather than have a textbook in hand, Kailua simply waited for Gon to make it next to his door before swiping out his feet from under him. He fell with a heavy thud, but Kailua cared less this time. It was earlier in the night, only 1 a.m., and Kailua could easily lie that Mike had startled him. It would have been a poor lie, but still. He had fallen on his back, chest still as he held his breath, looking around. After he finished looking at his surroundings, he met Kilawa's eyes, grinning widely. "Oh, well, hi. Didn't expect to see you here again. I thought this level was sort of empty of people." "It's not, but let's talk more in here." Swiftly, he pulled the man up, dragging him along back to his bedroom. He locked the door, earning a smirk from the man, but Kilawa ignored him to turn around and open his windows. He could blame most of the sounds on the outside, if anything. Taking the seat at his desk, he gestured for him to have a seat. The jackass dropped heavily onto Kilawa's bed, where he seemed to appraise the comforter and mattress.
"Wow, these are firmer than I expected.
They don't import feathers and clouds for you?" The comment stung. It was similar to one or two he had heard in the past from other strangers. "This is actually a storage room for my dorm furniture. My bed is upstairs. Two levels up." "Right, it's 5 levels total. Basement, main level, then this one, plus the other two, though the topmost floor is blocked off from view, no windows. I wonder what goes on up there." Ignoring the cold sweat that traveled down his back, Kilawa replied, "You sure are well informed." "Hey, when you have to case a place, you learn as much as you can." "So that's how you found out about the jewel vault, and the side of the wing that most of the servants ignore." He scratched his chin. Yeah, that was pretty obvious right away. There's only one light ever on in this side of the wing, and it's only for a few hours in the evening." "So what are you looking for now?" Kilawa was getting impatient. "You got the gem last time. If it's money you want, fine. I can hand over something. I'm not too fond of you constantly coming back if you're going to break in every time. My family lives here, and I don't want to stress them out." "Hmm." The man flopped back onto his bed, looking at the ceiling. "My boss, the one that threatened to fire me, see, she likes gems, the fine-cut kind. She doesn't care much for the one set in any type of jewelry. So you were right. She did want that gem. It's just her type." "Your boss is a woman?" "Hmm." He sat up in bed, leaning heavily on his knees, staring at Kilawa. "Yeah, but that job's done. I don't want to talk about work." He grinned, wide and full of teeth. It was an earnest expression Kilawa wasn't used to seeing. "Unless you suddenly remember where you saw me." So Kilawa had seen him while he was working. What jobs were there on campus? Some were Kilawa frequented enough that he was recognized by this guy. But he didn't know him as Kilawa Zoldyck? Keep guessing or just admit defeat and guess the answer? Just a few more questions. If he didn't figure it out then... Wait. Hey, you haven't asked me that question yet. Again, he grinned at Kilawa. I told you, I'm saving it. Kilawa frowned back. You're so weird. What could you possibly be saving it for? At this point, you could probably ask more and I wouldn't even notice. Depends on how the first question goes. Besides, I like asking you questions. I never know what people want to know, but you seem to know exactly all the right questions, even if you don't need to ask anything. His grin turned a little hungry. You just seem to already know. I like that. So why are you back here? I think you're interesting, Kilawa. I like when people are interesting, especially like people that can knock me flat on my ass without much effort. I'd like to know where you learned that. In exchange, I'll answer any question you have. He slipped his shoes off, shuffling backwards onto the bed, patting a spot beside him. He was inviting Kilawa onto the bed with him. Why did that make Kilawa nervous? It was his damn bed, in his own house. But the stranger still had that same glint in his eyes, the one that made him look hungry. As nervous as he was, Kilawa liked it. Fine, he said, walking up to the bed. Sliding on, he stuck out his hand. But introductions. I'm Kilawa. The man's smile softened. I'm gone. Still nothing. Kilawa had never formally met this man, nor had he ever heard him say his name. So what will you do with the gem? Oh, after my boss gets bored of it, she sells them. Then we distribute the money after. So there's a team? Not exactly. We're no Ocean's 8, but no one on the boss's team starves or worries about money. But after that, we send it out.
Send it?
Right, to anyone struggling. People who might not eat every week get a small donation. Anonymous, like something that can hold them up for a month or two. It won't change their lives, but it sure will make them breathe easy for a time. Gon paused. Gon paused. No one deserves to live worrying about meals. Keela was heart-twisted, but he knew his own convictions. He was a selfish man, someone who only cared about his immediate circle. He had been hurt and broken by too many to let it go any further, even if there were strangers on the streets who thought they could do better in his spot. But Gon's optimism was nice, enlightening. Beyond the one gem, he had asked nothing of Keela besides his time. And Keela liked giving Gon his time. Gon raised an eyebrow at him. You don't believe me. I believe such a group exists. I'm just surprised they sent a college student to stake out the Zoldyck Mansion and steal from one of the best security teams in the capital. Second best in the capital. But nice try, and I'm not a college student. That was it. That was all Keela could muster. Damn it. His head flopped back and he sighed loudly. Okay, I give up. My memory failed. He squinted at Gon. Will you at least tell me now? Nope, Gon beamed. You'll find out before long, probably in the next month. But now, I have two questions, hehe. Gon leveled a flat stare at him. Are you going to use them? Eventually. His eyes dropped down to Keela's mouth for a moment, then back up to his eyes. I thought you'd have more questions for me. Do you like asking questions that much? Yes. The answer came annoyingly fast. You tend to surprise me with some of your questions. I told you, I like that. Keela saw his eyes drop a little lower than his mouth, instead leveling at the hollow of Keela's throat, exposed from his collared button-up. You're staring. Gon's eyes immediately came back up to Keela's, and a slight flush struck his cheeks. Keela felt a similar heat building in his own chest. He liked Gon staring at him. Keela raised an eyebrow at him, and his gaze moved to the wall past Keela's shoulder. I want to ask you something. Okay, but make it quick. I'll be honest, I don't want you to be caught by the staff. Gon shifted his eyes back, grinning before rolling his eyes. Then he bit his lip. I don't want this to seem weird, but... The blush grew a bit brighter, carrying over to his ears. Can I kiss you? Fuck. Keela wasn't expecting that. Suddenly, the idea of Gon's mouth on him was all he could think of. It had been something he had resisted thinking about ever since the party, because it didn't make sense to think like that. He had just met Gon that night. He didn't even know his name until a few minutes ago. But the last 2 weeks, having Gon sneak in, talking with him... Keela's mind had wandered enough to think about Gon sneaking in for more than just treasure. Gon shifted in the bed and turned away. That would be weird.
You can forget that.
Wait. Keela grabbed Gon's shirt, pulling him close. One hand curled into the fabric a bit more. You didn't let me answer. Keela leaned in, bumping Gon's nose before slanting his face. Lips pressing into Gon's, a slight peck on his lips. It wasn't much. He had even given similar kisses to his sister's cheek or forehead, his mother's cheek even, except this time it was on another's lips, a man's lips. When Gon hummed, hands moving up Keela's knees, thumbs pressing into the muscles of his thighs, Keela's lips softened, and Gon pushed in, tipping his head to the side, sliding his lips against his, and Keela's mind turned to something like static. They parted, Keela feeling breathless and Gon staring at him with darkened eyes. You have to go, Keela sighed. I don't want you to get caught or arrested, especially now. All right, I'll go, Gon said quietly. But my last question. Keela met his eyes again. Can I see you again? Outside of your mansion, I mean. Killua reached over to his dresser, pulling out a pen. He grabbed Gon's arm and wrote down his phone number. "Call me," he said, covering the number and refastening the button. "Call me when you're safe. I'll be waiting." He then pulled Gon off the bed and shoved him toward the window. Gon spun, leaving one last kiss on Killua's lips before bracing himself in the windowsill. He winked at him over his shoulder, then hopped out. Killua cursed. His sister would be teasing him for weeks about the thief that stole his first kiss.